I'm standing in a hallway that looks clean at first glance. Fresh paint, new baseboards, nothing obviously wrong. But the air feels a little heavier than it should, and there's a smell that doesn't belong in a dry house. It's faint, almost sweet, almost earthy, and if you didn't know better, you'd walk right past it. I've learned not to do that. I pause here longer than most people would. I breathe in slowly through my nose and let the smell sit. This is usually where people tell me I'm overthinking it. They say the place looks fine, and I tell them this is how mold gets a head start. You don't see it first. You sense it. Your body notices before your eyes do. If you've ever walked into a room and felt like something was just off, even if you couldn't explain why, you already understand more about mold than you think. I'm going to walk you through how I read a space like this, how I decide if mold is part of the story, and what I do next without panic, without guessing, and without tearing things apart that don't need to be touched. Detecting mold isn't about hunting for black spots or scaring yourself with worst-case stories you've heard online. The real task is understanding moisture, time, and neglect. Mold is not a surprise problem. It's a patient one. It shows up when water has been allowed to linger where it shouldn't, usually out of sight, and it stays because no one corrected the conditions that let it grow. Before I ever touch a wall, pull a vent cover, or think about cleanup, I slow myself down and think about the house as a system. Mold doesn't just appear, it's invited. What this task actually accomplishes is clarity. You're not just asking, is there mold? You're asking where moisture is coming from, how long it's been there, and whether the house is winning or losing the fight against humidity. People get this wrong because they focus on the mold itself instead of the environment that created it. They see a dark patch under a sink and start scrubbing, painting, or spraying chemicals without ever asking why that cabinet stayed damp long enough for growth to happen in the first place. That's how mold keeps coming back. You treated the symptom, not the cause. Most failures start with ignoring small clues. A bathroom mirror that never fully clears. A closet that smells musty no matter how many air fresheners you use. Paint that bubbles slightly near a window. These aren't cosmetic issues. They're signals. Mold loves places where air doesn't move and moisture doesn't dry. When I walk into a space, I'm mentally mapping airflow, temperature differences, and water sources. Bathrooms, kitchens, laundry rooms, basements, and anywhere HVAC ducts run are always part of the story. So are roof lines, exterior walls, and areas near plumbing penetrations. Success in this task looks like confidence. Not fear, not guessing, not denial. It looks like being able to say, I know why this smells the way it does, or I know why this wall feels cooler than the others. It's about being able to decide whether you're dealing with surface growth, a hidden moisture problem, or nothing at all. That decision saves you money, time, and stress. Before touching tools, you need to understand that mold detection is as much about patience as it is about observation. I've made the mistake of rushing. Early on, I used to trust my eyes too much. I'd see a clean wall and assume it was fine. Then, I'd open it up later for an unrelated repair and find the backside spotted and soft. What I learned is that mold doesn't care what the visible surface looks like. It cares about what's happening behind it. That's why you need to think in layers: surface, structure, and air. You also need to understand that not all mold is dramatic. Some of it is light, dusty, and easy to miss. Some of it hides inside insulation or along framing where condensation forms. People expect mold to announce itself loudly. Most of the time, it whispers. The task here is learning how to listen. When I'm preparing to detect mold properly, I don't start by tearing into walls. I start by setting myself up to read the space without disturbing it. The most important tools aren't aggressive. They're observational. Your senses are tools, but there are a few physical items that help confirm what you're already suspecting. A good flashlight matters more than most people realize. I'm not talking about the light on your phone. I mean a focused beam that lets you rake light across surfaces at a low angle. When you shine light this way, textures change. Subtle ripples, staining, or uneven paint become visible. This is how I spot past moisture events that were fixed cosmetically. I hold the light close to the wall and move it slowly, letting shadows tell me what my eyes alone might miss. A moisture meter is another tool I trust, but only when I understand what it's telling me. It doesn't detect mold. It detects moisture. That's the real enemy. I press it gently against drywall, wood trim, or flooring and compare readings across the room. I'm not chasing a number. I'm looking for differences. When one section reads noticeably higher than surrounding areas, my attention goes there. I've learned not to panic at a single reading. Patterns matter more than spikes. Personal protection is part of readiness, even at the detection stage. I keep a basic mask on hand, not because I expect danger, but because disturbing dusty areas can release spores into the air. I'm careful with my breathing, especially in enclosed spaces. Before I reach into a dark cabinet or attic corner, I pause and think about airflow. I've made the mistake of stirring up debris without protection, and it taught me to respect what I can't see. Setting up the workspace means controlling variables. I close windows if outdoor humidity is high, so I'm not confusing exterior moisture with interior issues. I turn off fans temporarily so smells aren't being masked or moved around. I stand still in rooms longer than feels normal. This is where readiness becomes a feeling. When you're ready, you feel calm, observant, and unhurried. If you feel rushed or distracted, you're more likely to miss something important. Body positioning matters too. I get low when I need to. I kneel to smell near baseboards. I raise my head near ceilings and vents. Mold-related moisture often behaves differently at different heights. Warm air rises, cool surfaces condense. Understanding where your body is in relation to those zones helps you interpret what you're noticing. I also prepare mentally for restraint. Just because I suspect mold doesn't mean I go looking to confirm my fear at all costs. Readiness includes knowing when not to open something. If you're not prepared to deal with what you might find, it's sometimes better to gather more information first. That judgment comes with experience, but you can borrow it by slowing down and thinking ahead. This is where detection becomes action, but it's still controlled. I start with the air. I move room to room and let my nose do its work. Mold smells different than dirt or dust. It has a damp, organic quality that lingers. I trust that instinct now. When I first started, I second-guessed myself. Over time, I learned that if something smells wrong consistently, it usually is. Next, I let my hands guide me. I press gently on walls, trim, and cabinets. I'm feeling for softness, for areas that give slightly when they shouldn't. Healthy materials feel firm and predictable. Compromised ones feel tired. When I find a spot like that, I don't poke aggressively. I note it. I compare it. Pressure is light and deliberate. Sound matters too. When I tap lightly on drywall or wood, I listen for changes in tone. Solid areas sound crisp. Damp or deteriorated areas sound dull. It's subtle, but once you hear it, you can't unhear it. This is one of those professional judgments that doesn't come from instructions. It comes from paying attention. If I confirm elevated moisture and consistent sensory clues, that's when I decide what to do about it. Not all mold situations require demolition. Surface growth from humidity can often be addressed by improving ventilation and drying the area thoroughly. Hidden mold tied to leaks or condensation requires fixing the moisture source first. Cleaning without correction is wasted effort. I've made the mistake of cleaning before repairing. The mold came back, and it taught me a hard lesson. Now I always ask myself, if I clean this today, what changes tomorrow? If the answer is nothing, I know I'm not done thinking yet. When cleaning is appropriate, I keep it simple. Controlled removal, minimal disturbance, proper drying. I don't scrub aggressively and spread spores everywhere. I work methodically and calmly. When removal isn't appropriate, I know when to stop and call for professional remediation. That's not failure, that's judgment. Professionals think differently because they're not trying to prove anything. They're trying to solve the problem permanently. That means knowing when to slow down, when to stop, and when to escalate. If at any point you feel unsure, that's not weakness. That's awareness. As I finish assessing a space, I take one last moment to stand still and breathe. The house tells you when it's healthier. The air feels lighter. The smell changes. You don't feel that subtle tension in your chest anymore. That's how you know you did this right. You can do this. You don't need fear or guesswork. You need patience, attention, and respect for what the house is telling you. Once you learn to listen, mold loses its advantage.